Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. And while you're going there, a funny story for you. A woman is amazed that her pastor who lives right down the street, how quickly he can change his personality. Around the neighborhood while he's walking his dog, checking his mail, going for a jog, he's incredibly shy, quiet, and timid. But as soon as he hits that platform, he begins to preach. He becomes loud, boisterous, and is able to entertain the congregation with his sermons. While they were passing each other in the neighborhood on a walk, she said, "I'm just so shocked, and I'm not sure how you go from one personality to the next." And the pastor said, "Oh, it's very simple. That guy in the church, that's my alter ego." Alter ego. There you go. Guys, it's what time is it? You guys should be quicker than that at 11:43. I'm sure our online audience was all over that one. Matthew chapter 24. We're going to be in this series for all of May. We'll pause next week for Pastor Mandy to preach what God has placed in her spirit. But we're going to talk about endurance. We're going to talk about being able to stay the course and finish what God has placed us in. Matthew 24, verse 13, the New Living Translation, it is a short but powerful and revelatory verse. "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." But the one that endures to the end will be saved. Turn to the person standing next to you and tell them, "Everybody doesn't win a trophy." Come on now. Aren't you glad that there's still some old school people? That not everybody gets, you don't get a participation trophy. I got good news and bad news. You showed up to church. No one in heaven is applauding our arrival at church today. We don't get trophies for showing up. We get trophies for finishing what God has called us to do. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I'm going to finish my assignment." Somebody yell, "Endurance." Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Tyler, keep me honest. I've got 23 minutes on my clock, and I'm going to do better in Jesus' name. And before we get into the introduction of this series, might I remind you, get your hopes up, Living Way. Keep your hopes up. Great testimonies, two financial testimonies that I heard this week. One of them was someone who had been away from church for a few months, and he said, "Pastor Brandon," he said, "I started my own business, my own company," and he said, I had all of these things that were waiting in the works, and he said, "I was waiting for them to happen. I was waiting for those things to fall into place," and he said, "The moment I came back to Living Way and started tithing," he said, "it was like dominoes. Everything I was waiting on, boom, just started happening." And I rejoiced with him knowing that when you do something here on earth, it has a heavenly impact that is released on earth. And then one of the young men sitting right here tonight, and I love the fact that it's a young man that said this to me. He said, I just want to let you know, I was looking at my giving online. He said, "I gave more in the first 4 months of 2022 than I gave all of last year." And I was so excited. And that's remarkable for a young person. And so you say, what does that have to do with what you're saying? I'm talking about hope is going up. Because if you don't really have hope, you're not going to tithe, you're not going to worship, you're not going to praise, you're not going to show up. But hope causes us to do those things. Let's talk about endurance. Endurance, church, is what separates the men from the boys, the women from the girls, the also-rans from the champions, and the footnotes from the main characters. If you're taking notes, write this down. Endurance is what separates the starters from the finishers. How many of you are not too ashamed to say that you started a diet on January 1st, but you are no longer on that diet plan? Just raise your hand. I'm not going to raise my hand because I didn't even start one this year. How many of you are not too ashamed to say that, "Pastor, I started working out, but I'm not working out like I started"? I'm not going to go any further than that right now, but we're going to get to some things that a lot of us have started and finished. Endurance is that middle thing that separates. It's easy to start something. So easy to start. But the in-between from start to finish line, it takes endurance. It's what separates starters from finishers. And if we are going to be Christ-like, if we're going to be like Christ, like Jesus, we must become finishers. Because Jesus is not just a starter, he is a finisher. The way I like to say it is the same God that was big enough to start it is big enough to finish it. Revelation 1 verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and I am the ending, saith the Lord. That means the God that was with you when you started it, he is in the middle of it, but he is already standing at the finish line. And so when you and I don't know if we've got enough energy, if we've got enough anointing, if we've got enough oomph to get to where God has called us to be, remember this, that God started it, that God called you to greatness. He was there at the beginning, at the starting gate. He's there in the middle of the valley, like Tyler and Jaden said, and he's also already at the finish line. He said, I am the one which was, which is to come. I am the Almighty. What if Jesus had only said, I am the Alpha? We would be stuck if the only thing we celebrated was Christmas, the coming of Jesus. But the fact that he said, I am the Alpha and Omega. What if Jesus stopped after John's declaration in the very first chapter and first book of his gospel when he said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. However, in John 19, 30, 19 chapters later, the same Jesus that is the Word that was in the beginning, that same Jesus hung on a cross and said, it is finished. He said, I'm the God that started it and I am the God that will finish it. I want to encourage someone in the room and online today, you are in the middle of your journey. Do not get weary in well-doing. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit now. You are farther now than you were yesterday. You are closer today than you were in April. You are closer in 2022 than you were in 2021. All you have to do is not quit and you will finish and you will win. It is why the Bible starts in Genesis 1:1 with the phrase, in the beginning, and ends in Revelation 22, verse 21, with the word, amen. Because God is a finisher. Getting great reports this week of successful surgeries, canceled surgeries. Come on now. Cancer being healed, cancer being removed. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a God that is a finisher. I'm talking about not only the God that we celebrate when a baby is born, but the God that we celebrate when somebody comes out of ICU, when somebody comes out of the trauma unit, when somebody comes out. Why? Because God is not just a starter. God is not just Alpha. God is Omega. And you are going to see the Omega in your life if you will just endure till the end. Which leads me to some hard truths. If Jesus started with in the beginning and ended with amen, it is the middle that takes people out. So what are those hard truths? If you're not going to stay married, don't get married. If you're not going to be a parent, don't become a parent. Your mom and dad were through when you turned 18, changing diapers and paying, oh, it's getting quiet. They want to be grandparents. What do grandparents do? They fill your kids with sugar and send them home with you. They have sleepovers. They don't have to take them to school. They don't have to take them to doctor's appointments. They don't have to stay up with them all night. All of that is behind. If you don't want to be a parent, don't become a parent. The easiest day of your life is when you have the positive pregnancy test. Everything else is enduring. I'm talking to the mom that has the terrible two-year-old right now. We're going to call him a triumphant two-year-old in Jesus' name. But you are tired of potty training. You've got the 4 and 5 year old that doesn't want to go to school, and every day it is a tantrum and a cry fest. It is the enduring season. And then when they get past that, and oh God, I'm thankful they're out of diapers, and I'm thankful they're out of kindergarten. Yeah, but then they start talking back. It's enduring. Then at 13 and 14, hormones wake up. testosterone starts flowing, estrogen starts flowing, and every emotion imaginable, it is enduring. And then 16 happens, and they start wanting the car. And if you don't let them borrow the car, they're going to take the car anyway while you're sleeping or out of town. Enduring. If you don't want to be a parent, don't become a parent, because it takes endurance. You know why Mandy and I stopped at two kids? Not because we couldn't have more kids, but because I said, we're not going to be outnumbered. It's 2-on-2 right now. We can play man-on-man defense. If we have one more kid, we got to go to a zone, and they're always going to have the upper hand. I'm talking to those that don't have kids, or you have one or two, you might want to stop. If you're not going to keep a job, don't get a job. If you're not going to run your business when it gets tough, don't start the business. If you're going to flake out after serving in ministry after 4 months, don't start serving. If you're going to get offended in ministry and leadership and quit when you don't get your way, don't join leadership. Church, we must stop and break the cycle of starting, stopping, 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 starting, stopping. Are you getting tired of it? Because God is really tired of us living our lives like that. Starting, stopping, praying, whining, praising, complaining, worshiping, wondering, faith, fear, doubt, dominion. The only one that's saved is the one that endures. The only one that gets a crown is the one that endures. And Jesus endured the cross, which leads me to this next point. If he endured the cross, we can endure anything on this earth that we face. We must break the cycle of starting, stopping, starting, stopping, marrying, divorcing, marrying, divorcing. Job number one in January, job number two in March, job number three in April. Because what that tells us is that we're double-minded and we're unstable. If you can't stay married to him, what makes us think you can stay married to him? There is no perfect marriage because there is no perfect people. Even my marriage to Jesus isn't perfect, not because he's not perfect, but because I'm not perfect. I am flawed, but if I endure, I might lose a battle, but you will never lose a war if you will just not quit and stop fighting. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, endure. Endure. The cycle of start, stop, start, stop. That creates lukewarm believers. Lukewarm believers turn into casual Christians. And casual Christians are a terrible representation to a lost and dying world that needs Jesus. The church, not Living Way, the universal church, Big C Church, has the worst PR in the world. We have the worst representatives in the world. Sometimes I cringe when I find out that somebody I know that is not about living a life that is holy, sanctified, consecrated, and anointed calls himself a Christian. Why? Because that's what I call myself. I cringe when I find out that some of these people say they are believers and followers of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what I call myself, and what I see in them and what I see in me is not the same thing. So we don't need lukewarm believers. Jesus said, I want you to be hot or cold. When we start and stop, and we start and we do not endure, it leads to hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. Hot and cold mixed together makes us lukewarm. Have you ever been around a couple that has been dating for a few months but acts like they've been married for years? You ever been around them? How many people have been married, and I know this is probably a younger crowd, but how many of you have been married for over 20 years to the same person? Let's just put that out there. There's a few dozen hands that have gone up. Have you ever been around the young couples or even the newlyweds, and they're acting a certain way, and you don't act that way anymore, and you look at them, and you just shake your head? Just shake your head. If I'm talking about you or to you, just laugh like we're talking about somebody else. I always think, and I've said it out loud a few times, those people and those relationships and what mandate I have, we are not the same. We are not the same. They're out there playing wiffle ball. Manny and I are in the ninth inning of the World Series. They're out paintballing. We're in World War III with live rounds of ammunition. They're hiding behind tires, and we're screeching tires. Because it's not the same. What they're going through, that newlywed phase, the world and your world needs to know that we are not just in a relationship with Jesus, we are married to Jesus. And I love the new style of song. I love Elevation Rhythm. I know what's going on across the world, but I still love Hillsong United, Hillsong Young and Free. I love the worship. I love Maverick City. I love all of that worship, but this is where I have to draw the line. I love Firm Foundation. I love He Won't. I love all of these songs, but where I draw the line is the songs that sound like Jesus is my boyfriend, because He's not my boyfriend. I draw the line at songs that could go either way that don't mention the name of Jesus, and they could have been sang by Justin Timberlake just as easy as they do by some Christian artist. And so the world needs to know that we're not simply just in a relationship with Jesus, we're married to Jesus. And when we marry Jesus just like we took our husband or our wife, for better or worse, for rich or poor, for sickness and in health. And listen, not till death do us part, because death will never separate us from Jesus. I am here to tell you, an enduring person is someone that is married to Jesus, that no matter what happens, it does not sever my bond and my connection with Jesus. I'm not just doing life with Jesus. He is my life. Big L, the way, the truth, the life. In my humble opinion, and this is not word, this is Brandon, let me preface that. If you don't agree, you don't just chalk this one up to, I missed it, it's his opinion, this is not the word, but in my humble opinion, we have made quitting way too easy. And in a woke generation, we have romanticized and awarded quitters. Well, they needed some space to themselves, and they needed, listen, there is no such thing as space to yourself when you're a follower of Jesus. I understand sometimes you got to take a step back and reevaluate, but you can't take a step out of His presence. You can't take a step out. I've never seen someone win by stopping serving Jesus. Well, I need to work on this. You can serve on Sundays and work on that. Well, it's getting quiet from four rows back. But all the people that are in leadership in the front, all of the people that are serving on dream teams, you know what I'm talking about. Listen, you can handle your marriage and teach Sunday school. You can raise your kids and run a camera. You can work a job, a second shift, and a third shift. Listen, if you came to Everything Living Way Does, that's about 7 hours a week. You have 161 hours in the week to get your marriage right, to get your family right, to make some money, to start a business, to get your side hustle going on, to go get therapy, to lay on a couch. Whatever you need, you got 161 hours to do that. I don't have to take away. I don't understand these pastors that say, I need a sabbatical. The reason you need a sabbatical, and I'm not talking. The reason you need a sabbatical is because you haven't endured and you haven't taken care of what God has called you to take care of in you. And so you got to step away from the church for 6 months. Are you kidding me? God knew what you needed, and God can give it to you while you preach, while you serve, while you do what God has called you to do. I don't need a break. I need a breakthrough. You don't need a break. You need a breakthrough. I'm going to step on some toes here, but I'm thinking out loud here. I've never understood separation. All you're doing is practicing single life. And what I've seen is most people separate to see if they can pay the bills by themselves. Not because they're working on them, us, or we. Never let the mentality of the world or the fatigue of faith And the fatigue of service, church, I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. I've been doing what I'm doing now for 22 years. I'm going to do it for another 62 years. But I need to let you know, it is okay to be tired. It is just not okay to quit. That's why the Bible would say, even when you're weary, do not quit doing good, because there's an appointed time where you are going to reap. If you do not faint, if you do not stop, if you do not quit. Let God bring a breakthrough. Don't take a break. Don't take a break. For you Friends fans that love the Friends sitcom, Ross and Rachel's relationship was forever ruined when they were on a break. Oh, there's only like four of us Friends fans. That's all right. Bad things happen in the break. Great things happen in the breakthrough. I'm not taking a break. I'm breaking through. I'm breaking through. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, endure, endure, endure. Don't quit. A high school friend 10 or 12 years ago hit me up on Facebook, and this is the exact phrase he used. I looked it up. I actually searched and looked it up this week. He said, are you still doing the preaching and pastoring thing? My response, I said, are you still straight up godless heathen? No, just kidding. I didn't say that. I thought it. But this is what I really told him. I said, yes, sir. I said, I'm not test driving. I said, I'm not taste testing. This is what God created and called me to do. And I said it without having to say it. Don't trivialize what God is doing in me and through me. And just because you don't understand it, just because you don't get it, doesn't mean that I react the same way that you do. You realize that Living Way Church, you are the cream of the crop. You come to church once a week, twice a week, sometimes three times a week. You serve in multiple ministries. You are in with the kids on Wednesday night and ushering on Sunday morning. And you might sing in one service and serve in another service. This is a place like no other place. And so when people find out that you come here a couple times a week, that you worship like you worship, give like you give, serve like you serve, they say things like, well, in my church, we don't do that. No. At your church, you don't do that. No church exists without somebody enduring. I passed some very small, what we call storefront churches. I pass by dozens of them every week. Brother Michael, that have been there for 30 or 40 years. Now, I believe they're important to the process. Somebody's going to walk into there and get saved. Somebody's going to find Jesus in there. It doesn't have to be a mega church. Every church that is a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church is a part of the team, and we are not here to compete with one another. We are here to complete. They reach people we will never reach, and we reach people they will never reach. But listen to this. I've seen some of those churches for 30 years. What does that mean? Somebody there, I don't know, has endured. Somebody's tried to talk them out. There's only 8 people coming here. Why don't we just close the doors down? But someone said, no, this is what God created me to do. This is what God called me to do. And so I'm going to endure. I'm going to finish it. Can I encourage somebody in the room and online today? Somebody's been chirping in your ear about your vision, about your dream, about your goals, maybe even about your church and the service at this church. But I want to encourage you. You were created and called to do exactly what you are doing, what God has called you to do. Do not let their fatigue, do not let their weariness, do not let the spirit of quit that they've exhibited, do not let it jump on you. But when you see that, you ought to dig your heels a little deeper and say, God, I'm so glad that I'm connected to you. I'm so glad that as other people have faded away, God, my fire still burns hot. I will endure till the end. I said, are you still doing the preaching thing? I said, no, I said, yes, I'm called. I'm created. This is what I'm supposed to do. We must adopt the mentality, church, that no matter what I'm going, I'm going to finish my assignment. No matter what, I'm going to finish my assignment. I've got one minute left, and it's a great place to stop. You don't quit an assignment. You finish the assignment. You don't quit an assignment. You finish the assignment. Don't ever quit something that God has called you to do without God saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's another thing, another mountain to move. There's another race to run. There's another purpose to perform. You don't quit an assignment. That's why I always love people that can dig in when it's tough and say, it's uncomfortable for me right now, but God did not tell me to stop. God did not tell me I was through. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. You know why Jesus in his earthly body said, it is finished? Because the Father in heaven said, you've completed the task. And the Bible says in John 19 that he said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. But what I love about this is Jesus ends one assignment, and he begins the next assignment immediately. You say, what was the next assignment? His next assignment, see, his first assignment was 33 and a half years. His second assignment was 3 days. He said, all right, my job now is to go into hell, to defeat the adversary, the devil, to get the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And the way I finish this assignment is when that stone is rolled away and the veil is ripped in two and everybody now can come to me. And then when he finished that assignment, guess what? He had a few weeks assignment still on this earth before he ascended. That's when he went to Mary. That's when he went to the disciples that we preached about last week. He had that assignment. And isn't it just like Jesus when he ascended into heaven and he said, now I need you to go to Jerusalem and I need you to get in that room and I need you to wait. And the same breath that he exhaled on the cross was the same breath that came into the upper room. And we'll talk about it here in a few weeks. But I am here to tell you that Jesus always finishes the assignment. And if you and I have the same power in us, and if we have pledged our loyalty and our love and our life to Jesus, then I am here to tell you it's not a matter of if you can't quit if you are a follower of Jesus. Dig in faith and say, devil, you almost had me. In April, you almost took me out. You should have talked me out of it before May 1st because I've been in the spirit of the Lord, and I'm going to be the one that endures till the end. Stand on your feet. You can't quit an assignment. You finish an assignment. That's how you have to start every relationship. That's how you start a marriage. When you get married, when I got married, it's till death do us part. That means, man of God, you got to look at her and say, I'm not leaving. If one of us leaves, it ain't going to be me. Why? Because I'm enduring. Woman of God, you've got to look at him, and even though he doesn't look like the one that God promised you yet, you got to look at him and say, I'm not leaving. If anyone leaves, you're leaving. I'm not leaving. Well, guess what? What happens when two people adopt that mentality? There's nothing that can happen. Nothing that can be said. No, I ain't leaving. You ain't leaving. Which means we need to sit down here at the table, at the sofa, let the Holy Ghost counsel this out, call the church if we need assistance. But we are going to finish the assignment called marriage. And that's a life assignment. When we talk about your assignment today, we talk about endurance. When we talk about your relationship with Jesus, this assignment is not finished until you get to heaven. There is no checking out of this assignment. I've had people ask me very pointedly the question, and it's a denominational question. They say, do you believe once saved, always saved? I say, yes. They say, do you believe that you can lose your salvation? I say, yes. They say, how can you believe in both of those things? Because I say, if you really get saved, there is no backsliding. Oh, come on now. Don't let the preacher mess with your theology. If you really get saved, if you really get married, oh, it's getting quiet. If you really get married, there is no divorce. if you really are a parent. So I want to encourage somebody today. First and foremost, your God-given assignment, first and foremost, is to give your life to Jesus and accept him into your heart, into your life. Make him Lord of all. Make him Lord of everything, saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I'm a sinner, but God, I thank you for the blood. If that is you, I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand. I'm going to ask you to leave your seat and join. This is a young leader in this house. I talked to him this morning. Brother David Miller was out there greeting, and I heard a conversation. He said, hey, you, how old are you? He said, 12. He said, you're old enough to be a greeter. You want to be a greeter? And he said, yeah, I want to be a greeter. He said, well, tell your mom to sign you up. And then I saw him down here worshiping. He was the first one in the altar worshiping this morning. And when I clapped his hand on the way back to the seat, I said, hey, you're already a leader. Just keep leading. Just keep leading. Just keep leading. What does that mean? That at 12 years old, he has already understood the assignment. God, you've got your hand on me. God, I hear your voice. And this is what I want to tell you at 12 years of age. You're going to live to be an old man with gray hair. You're going to celebrate an anniversary with your future wife of 75 years. You're going to have 4 or 5 kids, or maybe just 2, like I said, maybe just 2. But I want to tell you that you've got great assignments in your life. And the world is going to do its best to make you quit so that you don't endure. It's going to do everything it can to talk you out of what God has put on you and in you. But I'm here to tell you, your family came to Living Way at the perfect time last August, because before they got to you, the world got to you, Jesus captured your heart. And the way that you move out with purpose, every time you worship, man, you're not looking for your buddies, because leaders don't look for buddies. Leaders lead. And then they turn around and people start following them. You keep leading. I want Mario, I want Brother Kevin to come down. Let's lay our hands on this young man. David, come on in, because you kind of started this talking about ministry with him today. While we begin to pray for him, and I'm going to lay my hands on him first, is there anybody that needs to be saved today? That's your first assignment. But maybe the assignment of marriage has gotten tough, and I don't want to make light